This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We've talked about the statewide election races, and now we'll talk about some of the local election races. Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics, joins us. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel. Happy to be with you.
Ron, I always enjoy your insight. You've been involved and have been watching Louisiana politics for, I guess I could say for as long as anybody I know of, and I don't mean to age you, Ron. But
Please, I'm doing well on that on my own.
Yeah, but, you and I have crossed paths over the years for a lot of years in politics and in campaigns and so forth and so on. Before we get to some of the local races, your kind of observations about the governor's race.
Well, I think my observations are probably similar to most other people who are looking at it now, that that John Bel Edwards is on the cusp of winning in the first primary, but it's not assured. And you know, you have multiple minor candidates in the race that could get enough votes to throw it in a runoff. A lot depends on election day turnout. If the African-American turnout is particularly low, that hurts Edwards. I still think he can do it, and I have generally thought he would probably do it, but it could be very close, and he may not be able to pull it off.
Well, obviously, with the appearance of Donald Trump Jr., Mike Pence, Vice President Pence, as well as President Trump on Friday, obviously they kind of feel the same, and they're doing the full court press to just vote for any Republican and just not vote for John Bel.
Yeah, and, you know, generally speaking, Trump's rallies have helped increase Republican turnout. It doesn't mean they can accomplish, you know, what they want or elect anybody they want with them, but it usually stirs up Republican and pro-Trump supporters. And, of course, in Louisiana, Trump won the state in 2016 by almost a 20-point margin. And so this is very much Trump territory outside of the city of New Orleans. City of New Orleans actually gave Hillary Clinton a bigger vote percentage than she received in New York City. So New Orleans is a solidly Democratic city. But outside of New Orleans, in some places in Metro New Orleans, this state is very pro-Trump.
Is that not a little bit of a double-edged sword, though? Because as I talk to any number of Republican business leaders and so forth, a lot of them have indicated they're voting for the governor.
Well, I think that's true. Edwards does have, first of all, Edwards has high popularity in the state. A majority of voters in the state like him, and they approve of his job rating. Now, just because of that doesn't necessarily mean that the Republican voters and conservative independent voters who like him will necessarily vote for him on election day. But it does mean that he has the shot to do pretty well there. And I agree. I don't think there is the ferocity of feelings either for or against him that we have seen with other governors, that, you know, that we saw with Edwin Edwards, for example, and when he ran against Dave Treen and David Duke and some of those races. I mean, none of that virulence is apparent in this race. In fact, the big question is, will we have a decent election day turnout? Will people go out and vote?
Yeah, I've always been concerned about voter apathy, the fact that we are electing our leaders with, turnout in the teens, which I think is tragic. I don't suspect that's going to be what will happen on Saturday, but I've seen so many of those races with 13-14% of voter turnout, you know, make a decision as to the leadership.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, at a certain point when voter turnout gets low enough, it's no longer a functioning democracy, you know, because there's, you know, it's not the people picking candidates. It's just a very small group of people picking candidates.
Yeah.
And you know, this opportunity to urge people listening today to turn out on Saturday and vote.
Yeah. One of the hottest races out there right now on a local level, it's a multi-parish race, is the first Supreme Court district. Obviously, when Greg Guidry resigned in order to become a federal judge, we have two candidates from the North Shore, Will Crane, who serves on the First Circuit, Richard Ducote, who's a former assistant district attorney and practicing lawyer from the North Shore, and then Hans Liljeberg, who sits on the Fifth Circuit, and Scott Schlegel, who sits on the 24th JDC court, all Republicans, four Republicans running in a Republican-dominated district, obviously, two from the North Shore, two from the South Shore. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and that's really the dividing line in this race, that that the two from the North Shore should do well up there and the two from the South Shore should do well, in the South Shore. It's a race that has not gotten a lot of public profile. We've seen positive ads from some of the candidates, but it's something that really hasn't stirred up a lot of controversy so far.
Yeah. Senate District 3 is one that is, very hotly contested in the city of New Orleans. You have two folks that are state reps running who are not term limited, which is unusual. John Begnaris and Joseph Bowie, who enter the race, and then two folks, a Republican and another Democrat, both former Marines, both working in school systems. Kind of interesting backgrounds against two established folks in the legislature.
Right, and that will be an interesting race for all the reasons you said, and I think a lot of people will be watching it. I hear supporters of Bowie handicap it in his favor and supporters of Begnaris handicap it in his favor, so we'll have to see what happens. But it is an unusual situation to have two House members go at one another who aren't term limited, and I think that'll be a well-watched election.
And then Karen Carter Peterson's fifth senatorial district. She's the incumbent. She's been the head of the Democratic Party and has served in the leadership role in the Democratic Party for quite a long time. With one other candidate in the race, Alan Bourne Jr., a lawyer, who actually had issues with his filing, and the court finally ruled that he was okay and could actually run.
Normally when incumbents are running for re-election into the legislature, they're seen as favorites. And I think a lot of people see Karen Carter Peterson as a favorite because she's been in politics for a while and has been in the news. But the word on the street among political operatives is that she may have a tougher race than she or other people expected earlier on. So that will be something to watch because, that may be a long shot for an upset.
Yeah, I was kind of curious because I did see some commercials come out recently with former Senator Mary Landrieu endorsing her and actually endorsing a couple of other candidates as well. That kind of struck me as odd because I would have thought that she might have been, run away with this election.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people did, but I think that there's a feeling that it will be closer than expected. That doesn't necessarily mean she will lose, but it could mean there's a fight.
Out in Jefferson Parish and I think a little bit of Orleans, open seat, State Senate, 9th Senatorial District, Cameron Henry, who has had a leadership role in the Republican Party on the House side, is running against another Republican, John Frankie Hires. I haven't seen this gentleman do anything in this election. I don't know if you have, and it looks like Cameron Henry is obviously the leader in this race.
Yeah, Cameron Henry is a very capable and skillful politician, and he pretty much locked this race up some time ago. So I don't see any big surprises there.
Yeah. Then Walt Leger's district, Ron, for the Orleans delegation, I don't know how you feel about this, but I think of all of the folks, he is one that's going to be a huge loss for the Orleans Parish delegation in the state legislature. He played a really interesting leadership role. had a lot of respect amongst a lot of Republicans, as well as his fellow Democrats. And this is an important race in making sure that they try to backfill with someone who can kind of help fill that on the House side.
Yeah, it will be difficult. Walt Leger sort of took to being a legislator very quickly and did very well and rose in the leadership. And he's somebody who was widely trusted, even across the political aisle. So it is a loss when somebody like that, with experience and with that sense of competence and ability to work with people, leaves. So we will have to see whether he wants to run for something else in the future. But that does leave an important hole, particularly for the New Orleans delegation.
Yeah, the two leading fundraisers so far, Carling Dinkler, used to be an aide to Representative Chris John up in Congress, and Mandy Landry, who is a lawyer as well, seem to be the two folks leading with raising money. And Robert McKnight, another candidate who's a public defender, is out there as well raising some money too. And they seem to be the three front runners in the race.
Yeah, they are. And I think the campaigns of Dinkler and Landry have been most visible. It looks like she's had some of the more recent momentum in the race. But a lot of it depends on African-American turnout. Robert McKnight is an African-American. The district is about half and half, black and white. And so if he can build up his base within the black community this last week, it could put him in the runoff.
All right, we got to get to a break, Ron, and when we come back, we'll talk about some of the other local races as well and move to Jefferson Parish at that point. We'll be right back. Stay with us. We're back, and we're talking to Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics, about some of the local races that you will be voting on Saturday, hopefully. And much like the Walt Leger seat, Ron, Senator Danny Martini's seat, 10th Senatorial District, is up for grabs, and he's played a leadership role on the Republican side and was one that had a lot of respect amongst his Democratic counterparts and was able to bring them to the table and reach consensus on any number of issues, and that'll be a huge loss for the delegation as well. This race, though, is pitted Kirk Talbert from the House, who's running for the Senate, and a newcomer to, legislative politics is Aretha Lips Bohannon. And it's been interesting. They have spent a lot of money in this race. And auto insurance rates, probably only second to the insurance commissioner's race, seems to be the big issue in this race.
It is. And there's probably more money being spent in that Senate race than any other one that I can think of, in the metro area. But there's actually a lot of Senate races that aren't being contested, and a lot of well-known incumbents like John Ilario and J.P. Morrell and like you say, Danny Martinez, Wesley Bishop are not running for re-election.
Right.
So it's a new day for a lot. But the District 10 race in Jefferson is probably the hottest Senate race that I think a lot of people are watching. I think most people think Kirk Talbert is the favorite for that, but it's become a pretty competitive race, and both sides are slugging it out.
Yeah, I mean, one, Kirk says it is touting his bills to reduce auto rates, and Ms. Bohannon points out that, in her view, he's helping out the insurance companies. So there seems to be some disagreement there, and has really become a bone of contention in that race.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's a classic trial lawyer versus, anti-trial lawyer type issue. And we see that in other places as well with car insurance. Louisiana has the second highest car insurance rates in the United States, and they're about 58% higher than the national average. And our car insurance rates are higher than, states from Alabama and Mississippi and Texas to New York and California. So something is clearly wrong there. And I think voters are frankly getting tired of paying these high car insurance rates. People complain about, paying an extra few hundred dollars here or there with taxes. and in some cases they're paying thousands of dollars more in car insurance rates. That affects not only consumers but small businesses. So it has emerged as an issue, and particularly in this Senate race and in a lot of other legislative races around the state.
The top of the ballot race in Jefferson Parish, Parish President Lee Bonacarrere, Cynthia Lee Shang, and John Young. John's a former parish president, decided not to run for a second term and ran for lieutenant governor and lost to Billy Nungesser and is back running for parish president again.
Well, that's a very competitive race. We see them going back and forth, attacks and counterattacks on television. I have not seen any polling, so I don't know where it is. Most of the people I talk to think that it will probably be pretty close. It could go either way. There's some people who have even talked about the possibility that the third candidate, though a minor candidate, could throw it into a runoff. So we'll see what happens. But in terms of parish-wide races goes, that is the one to watch.
The probably second parish-wide race to that, my old seat, Sheriff, Anthony Blase, John Fortunata, and Joe Lapinto, the incumbent. This is a repeat from the special election.
Yeah, it is, and I think most people would handicap the incumbent, Joe Lapinto, as the favorite in that. The race hasn't reached the kind of fever pitch that it did when Lapinto was first elected in the special election, but it is certainly something to watch. Both candidates have high name recognition and are pretty well liked, so both have the ability to draw some votes. But I think most people are handicapping that race in favor of Lapinto.
The council at large, Division B, is a very hotly contested race. Paul Johnson, who runs from a district seat, he is term limited, running for council at large, and a newcomer to politics, former news anchor Scott Walker from Channel 6 is in the race, both Republicans running for that seat.
Yeah, it looks like that Johnston has more money to spend. I have not seen any ads for Scott Walker yet. That doesn't mean he doesn't have them, but I haven't noticed it. You know, I also noticed on one of the campaign fundraising reports that he seemed to have a lot less money to spend in the race than Johnston. But that's an important race for the parish, and I think most people are handicapping Johnston as the favorite right now.
Yeah, on the there are a number of council races that are district races that are going on as well. In Councilman District 1 race, which was Ricky Templet, who went unopposed for council at large Division A and has been elected. You have former Judge D. Assistant District Attorney Marion Edwards running against other candidates, and I've not even seen anything that any of the other candidates have done. It's been predominantly Judge Edwards.
Yeah, that's all I've seen, too, and that's really all I've heard about. That doesn't mean, you know, in some of these local races like this with the council and the legislature, sometimes it's hard to handicap them if you don't see polls and you don't see advertising, and it's basically a door-to-door neighborhood networking campaign, because sometimes a candidate can be very effective in a race like that. But I think it looks like that Edwards should be the favorite based on activity and what I've heard from people in the parish.
Yeah, I've worked with Judge Edwards, and when he was in the district attorney's office, he has an incredible demeanor, and he really is a consensus builder. So I think he would be one that would be well-suited for that seat, quite frankly.
Yeah, I think a lot of people say that, and I think from what I gather, a lot of people in the area really recruited him to run to the seat and wanted to see him to get elected. So,
Council District 2, another kind of hotly contested race. Dino Banana, who's worked as an administrative aide to some parish presidents as well as council members, and has been the head of the Department of Homeland Security in the parish for a period of time, running against Michael O'Brien, who ran last time for council as well. He's from the West Bank, Dino from the East Bank. This is a district that crosses the river, as well as a third candidate, Melinda Doucette, who's been very active in the business community and the chamber. all running for this seat, and it looks as though this could be a hotly contested race.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well. I haven't heard a whole lot about the race, so I really can't add anything to it. But it's certainly one of the more interesting ones.
Council District 3 on the West Bank, kind of viewed as an African-American district, there are a lot of who's who in Jefferson politics in this race. Gregory Carroll, who is a councilman from Kenner, Cedric Floyd, school board member, Jedediah Jackson, who just received former Senator Mary Landrieu's endorsement, Byron Lee, who used to be on the council as well, mm-hmm. and Derek Shepard, who served in the State House for a period of time, running with several other candidates in this race.
Yeah, there's a lot of political factions in that race that are at work that will make a mark one way or another, whoever can win. So, you know, from that standpoint, I think it's certainly one to watch.
Jennifer Van Ranken in Council District 5 pulls one candidate, Amy French, and they have been spending a boatload of money in this election, hotly contested.
Yeah, that really has been particularly interesting. Jennifer Van Vranken, of course, was elected last time, won in a landslide, first time out as a candidate. Amy French is coming along and spending, from what I gather, is hundreds of thousands of dollars, a lot of it on television, in a big challenge there. I think most people view Jennifer Van Vranken as probably the favorite, but we'll see what happens there. It's probably the biggest money race of all the council races in Jefferson.
So, Ron, and just kind of to wrap this up, because I know you're running short on time, what do any projections as it relates to voter turnout?
Well, that's always difficult to tell. Even though some pollsters tell you they can poll it and tell you what turnout's going to be, that really isn't true. Turnout is something that happens after the polls finished calling people, essentially. And it's very hard to actually determine voter motivations. I mean, a lot of the polls that have been taken statewide, I think, are showing that the turnout is probably going to be roughly what it was 4 years ago, but roughly could mean, 2 or 3 or 4 points less or 2 or 3 or 4 points more, which can make a difference. But I think what really matters is who turns up. Will white Republicans in North Louisiana turn out in big numbers? And if that's so, then Edwards will have trouble. Will African Americans statewide turn out in big numbers? And if so, Edwards will probably win in the first primary. So I think a lot of it has to do with who turns out. And I haven't found a political analyst or pollster yet who can really tell you how that's going to happen, other than just a good hunch.
Absolutely. Well, I will look forward to it, and I think you and I are going to be together on Monday in the aftermath of these elections and discussing the results then. We look forward to that as well.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Ron Fauché, political analyst and publisher of Lunchtime Politics. Cannot stress enough the importance of getting out to vote on Saturday. Lot of huge races relative to the governance in this state. So something that we need to think about. It looks like the weather will be good. A lot of distractions, though. A lot of school fairs, LSU football, Tulane football. So a lot of things happening on Saturday. So plan ahead and make sure you have time to get out to the polls. We'll be right back. Stay with us. I wanted to try and talk about it in other parishes as well, but we're running short on time. But, out in St. Tammany Parish, you have a contested parish president's race, a contested sheriff's race. I think you have 7 council districts that are contested as well, of 14. Quite a lot of activity there. Any number of state representative races as well as Senate races, too, and a couple of judicial races going on across the lake as well. All the more important why you need to get out and vote, because you have a lot of leadership decisions to be made on the North Shore, the same in St. Bernard, some of the council districts that are contested there as well. Most of the top of the ballot races have already been decided in St. Bernard, but nonetheless, still the opportunity. One of the things, if you get an opportunity, go to the WWL website and read Scoot's blog about Ellen DeGeneres and former President Bush sharing a little quality time together at a football game. And Ellen was very surprised by the negative reaction to that. And I think Scoot put it well in his blog about, you know, this partisanship, tribal politics, identity politics that have been so divisive in this country that we can't even sit next to one another and just share friendship. When did we get to where differing and opposing views serves as a barrier for us enjoying one another's company? No matter how disparate we are in our views, at the end of the day, aren't we more alike than not alike? That's how I was raised. And it's interesting to watch the reaction. And I loved her response. Be kind to others. Not only those that are like you. Not only those that have the same belief system or value system that you have. Why does it have to be stopped there? Why is it that religion becomes a barrier now? Why is it that sexual proclivity becomes a barrier now? It shouldn't. Not ever. Why is it that we have decided to be isolationist in the way that we view ourselves in society today? Of only embracing those of like mind. What's next? Am I prohibited to be friends with a vegetarian? How about one that's all about clean energy? That's going to be a barrier now? Two, what other issues are going to be next that we're going to stratify ourselves into these little bitty subclasses and we can't go outside of that without the risk of being criticized? I guess maybe that's why Twitter has been one of the worst things ever and some of these social network programs just tend to divide us. And at the end of the day, as I said, we're more alike than we're not alike. What is the deal? And we've allowed it to enter politics. We in this state have been very spoiled. We have been able to exercise the benefit of open primary system where we can vote for the person and not the party straight out in the primaries. We're not burdened with labels here. And I can tell you, as I interacted with some of my peer sheriffs across the country over the years, they were so envious of the state of Louisiana and its open primary system. Because as candidates for sheriff, they may have sat on the sidelines for 10 years waiting for the opportunity to be anointed by the party. Oh, I know that people want to talk about we got political machines. We don't have political machines. That's sound bites that folks put out there. There are no such animals. Do elected officials have preference as to who they want to work with? Yeah. They do. It doesn't mean that they can't work with others. It just means they have a preference. But I often hear about this political machine issue, and I don't know of one. I don't know of one. And just because you become an elected official doesn't mean that you're precluded from expressing your desire and or your intentions or your preference as it relates to other candidates. Why not? That's an exercise of free speech, is it not? But it doesn't mean that it is meant to divide. It just means to express a preference. I don't know. I'm not sure where this all ends. Maybe you can tell me. We'll be right back. Got a big weekend this weekend. Saints at Jacksonville. UConn flies in to play Tulane here Saturday afternoon. Saturday night in Death Valley. LSU and the Florida Gators. At some point, within all of that, you got to cram in getting out to the polls. And on the Blue Runner Opinion Poll, are you voting on Saturday? Did you early vote or not vote at all? 57% say they're going to vote on Saturday. 32% voted early and 12% not at all. Voter apathy is something that we really need to deal with. You know, I kind of chuckle with all of these candidates that are talking about existential threats. You know what it's an existential threat to our democracy? Is not voting, not exercising the right, the privilege to vote. That is a foundational issue on so many fronts as it relates to the governance of this country, our states, our local governing authorities, parishes, counties across the country. And especially in local elections, folks, those are the ones that really affect your quality of life day in and day out, more so than any other race. So even if you just choose to go out and vote for those, go out and vote for the local elections. You don't have to vote for all the others. You should, but you don't have to. But those are the ones that make a difference. And if you want to make a difference today, you want to win a cool grand in the free cash giveaway contest, now's your chance. The code word this hour is DRUMS, text D-R-U-M-S, D-R-U-M-S to 72881 at 72881. Listen for the next code word right before the top of the hour, every hour, now through 4 p.m. Don't miss your chance to win $1,000 eight times a day in our Entercom National Cash Contest. Good luck from all of us at WWL. We never charge for text, but individual plan text and data rates do apply. And please don't text and drive.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.